Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolf.
Letting God fight your battles for you is scary. And that's why he keeps telling them, don't be afraid. Because even if I know I can't win, I still have this feeling that if I don't fight, I'm going to lose. And yet, the Lord would always say to us, I'll fight for you. You don't have to fight. I know it's scary to trust me. But if you trust me, you'll see what I can do. You'll discover the victory that I have for you.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Ever feel as though you're being attacked from every side? You're outnumbered and feeling overwhelmed? I think we've all been there. Today on The Balanced Word, we find Jehoshaphat crying out to God in the midst of an intense battle. We can learn a great deal from his prayer and praise to God, so let's find our place in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Pastor Dave Rolf is showing us the way God would have us deal with attacks.
In the middle of the assembly, in verse 15, he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. God says, I've heard your prayer. And I'll tell you what, the odds aren't looking so good for you, but the odds are easy for me. And what I need you to do is stay out of my way and let me fight this one. I'm going to do it for you. And that's God's call to all of us. It's like we're going, uh-oh, I'm in a battle, and he's going, just stand back. I'll take care of it. I remember one time as a kid, a guy that used to be my pastor, who's kind of a tough old guy, but as he was a pastor taking his kids to a Rams game, and it was a rowdy crowd there, and a guy just came in line and kind of pushed him out of the way and stood in front of him and was cussing really loud in front of his kids and everything. And he was just like, okay, this is it. And he's ready to take the guy on. And there's another big guy that was there in line, and he goes, you know, you've got your kids with you and everything. Let me take care of this. Boom, just decked the guy and knocked him out. And they stepped with his kids, just stepped right over the guy and went on into the football game. It's kind of like God saying that. He's going, you know what? You're right. You're not quite ready for this. Let me do it. Let me take care of it. I know what I'm doing. He goes, just stand still. And what God tells him is kind of interesting. First of all, stand still. You don't need to move. I don't need your plan. I don't need your help. Just be still. As the Lord said, be still and know that I am God. Remember, I'm the one. And he says, you don't need to fight. You don't need to. I'm going to win this for you. I'm going to do it for you. You'll see. And then he says, stand. You just stand. You know, whenever you're in any kind of athletic event or in any kind of combat, there's a certain stance that you need to take, depending on what you're doing. And in this case, well, I sometimes wonder what kind of a stance he really went into. Was he at ease, just like, okay, just stand there? Or was it be ready to fight? Or was it get into a defensive stance? Or I wonder what they were doing. In this case, as we see what happened, I think God was saying, get in your starting blocks, because you're going to be chasing these guys. I'm going to wipe them out, and then you're going to go after them. They did get to wipe a lot of them out, but God did most of the damage right in the beginning. So God's saying, be ready. You're going to be able to move when I say move. But he said, this is mine. This one's my battle. I'm going to fight it for you. Now, letting God fight your battles for you is scary. And that's why he keeps telling them, don't be afraid. Because even if I know I can't win, I still have this feeling that if I don't fight, I'm going to lose. And yet, the Lord would always say to us, I'll fight for you. You don't have to fight. I know it's scary to trust me, but if you trust me, you'll see what I can do. You'll discover the victory that I have for you. And so he goes, it's okay. Don't be afraid. You can trust me. You don't have to make this happen yourself. Trust me. I'm going to win this battle. And so this glorious message from God, acknowledging this beautiful prayer from Jehoshaphat on behalf of all the people, and now look how they respond to it. Jehoshaphat in verse 18 bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Worshiping the Lord? I mean, he hadn't done anything yet. All he had done is this prophet had spoken on his behalf. The enemy is still there. The problem is still looming. The danger is still present. But Jehoshaphat getting a word from the Lord, that's sufficient, and he bowed down to worship. Much as the case of Job when he lost everything. And as we sang the song this morning, where Job finally said, naked came I into the world, and naked will I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Falling down and worshiping in the face of losing everything that was important to him, that's the response. And as we go on, it continues and says in verse 19, the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. Now, Tekoa is an area that's up on high ground on the hills above the Dead Sea. From Tekoa, you can look out and survey the wilderness over where David hid out in the cave of Adullam. You can see Bethlehem. You can, on a clear day, see Jerusalem. You can see the Dead Sea, and you could easily see this valley where all these armies were. So they went to that place, that viewpoint, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. They're going out against one of the most difficult battles in their history. And did they bring the biggest, toughest guys to put them on the front lines? No, they're being led by a bunch of worship leaders. I mean, nothing against worship leaders, but if I'm in a fight, I can't think of, okay, maybe a country singer like Dennis Agajanian, but most worship leaders... most worship leaders aren't the kind that I'd take into a battle with me, frankly. And not only that, you know, it's almost the scene. You can see it. They're up on this stage, up on this plateau, and here it's time for war. And they're singing. It's like the goofy, some of those old movies like West Side Story where, you know, there are these supposed street gangs, these tough, you know, sharks and whatever, and it's like they come together, and they have their weapons, and they start doing these fruity dances and singing, and it's like... it's enough to just gross out the enemy and go, oh, man, I've had it. I don't even know if it's okay for me to hit some guy who's dancing, you know, but that's kind of how it was. It was like, here's this setup. And they're going, what? Began to praise God. But an amazing thing happens. Verse 22. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So they were so distracted by this Broadway show that they're like, what's going on? Hey, wait, it's a setup. And they start pulling out their swords and hacking each other to death. These three armies are wiping each other out. They were so devastated that later on, the children of Israel just got to chase what was left of them. But it was a complete wipeout. And when did it happen? When God heard the voices of the people praising him. The praise led to this powerful victory. It was the destruction of the enemy. Now, they could have stayed there and complained and whined, or they could have run and tried to hide, or they could have pulled their swords and tried to fight. But when they began to praise God, something radical happened that they couldn't have done otherwise. God began to work. And he allowed the enemies to self-destruct. He allowed them to turn inward upon themselves. As long as it looked like, well, you know, a bunch of dancing Jews, they're no threat. And all next thing you know, they're trying to kill each other. Because, see, God knew what he was doing. And the commandment to them, what God desired to see them do is, why don't you praise me? Now, praising God is something that's easy to do when things are going your way. See, if I just won the lottery yesterday, woohoo, praise the Lord. It'd be a miracle because I didn't buy a ticket. But even if I bought a ticket, okay, one time in my life I bought a lottery ticket, I have to confess to you, $2 ticket, I won $3, so I'm a dollar ahead and I'm just holding right here. But if I win the lottery, I'm like, whoa, yes, praise the Lord. Or something good happens to me, someone gives me something, or I hear good news about someone I love, it's like, oh, praise the Lord, this is so great. But that doesn't take any faith. To praise God for the things that he does for us, what takes faith is to praise him like Job when everything's been taken away. And when you're hurting and you're in agony and... Where's that coming from? But yeah, praise the Lord. When you're in pain and you're just going, oh man, I didn't win the lottery. You look at your life and you go, I just lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to make my house payment next month. I feel like I'm sinking under. People are attacking me. They're hurting me. They're hassling me. They're after me. They want to destroy me. Now I praise God and he goes, I like that. While you're busy, you just keep praising me. And I'm going to go take your enemy out at the knees. I'm going to go destroy that which is threatening you. You keep praising me. That's your business. And when we praise God by faith, that's the ultimate in praise. When we say, it doesn't look good, so I'm going to praise you, God, then he goes, all right. That's what I've been looking for. That's what I want to see. I want to see your heart praising me by faith, not just in response to what I've already done. And here's the deal. If you praise him before the victory, the praising of him after the victory is just going to be that much sweeter. It's going to be that much greater. I was meditating on this passage and this message this week, and I had a really hard week. I had a week that was just killing me. And I was looking forward to, on Friday, I was like, oh, I have to drive out to, I mean, I'm just tired. And I have to drive out to Murrieta and do a radio program. And then I'm driving out to Palm Springs to pick up my nephew. And I'm just like, ah, Friday, driving on that freeway. And then I go, you know what? With everything I'm dealing with right now, all the problems that I'm trying to figure out and the areas where I'm struggling and places where I'm under attack, I go, I'm going to apply this. And so I sat down on Friday morning and I just started saying, God, you are great. You're awesome. You're infinite. You don't change. And I began to meditate on who God is first. And then I had a talk with God about his relationship with me, things he's done for me, things I've done for him. Oh, it wasn't close. He's done way more for me than I've done for him. And it caused me to realize, boy, God, you are great and you're gracious. But we talked about our relationship. And then after going through that, I go, now, God, I need to talk to you about the problems I'm facing. And I laid it out for him. I go, God, look at this. Look at this situation. Look what they said. Look what is happening here. Look what I'm afraid of there. Look at my insecurities inside here. And I laid all that out and I go, God, are you going to let this stuff rip me off? God, this is your problem. And God, I believe you. If you say you'll fight for me, this is your battle. I'm giving it over to you and I'm just going to stand here. And then, Lord, I'm going to praise you. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to be driving in my car for several hours today. I think I'm just going to spend that whole time praising God. And so rather, you know, I'd be running out of songs after 5 minutes. So my wife had just given me this CD a couple weeks ago that was like a compilation worship CD from the Vineyard called Breathe. And it has some great worship songs on it. And I go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to that album, but not just listening to it. And then I'm thinking, I don't want to listen to that album all the way out there. I don't want to listen to the news or something like that. But I'm like, no, it's a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to praise God this whole time. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to listen to those songs, but every one of those songs, I'm going to pray it to God from my heart. I'm just going to say, you know, God, I am going to insist on praising you while I'm driving. And Lord, help my mind not to wander. I'm going to focus on praising you. And I did that. I just started the drive, and I was just praising God and enjoying him. And I couldn't believe it. I was just feeling some of the burdens that I felt from the week and some of the things I was concerned about, they began to lift. And as I turned off of the, I took the toll road over to the 91 and then the 91 to the 15. And as I started going on the 15, I started thinking, you know, I haven't even eaten today. And there's that Tom's Ranch or whatever it's called right there. And I'm going, I'm going to just get me a big cheeseburger. And that turned into also onion rings that are very good there and a chocolate malt. And I'm like, this is going to be good. I go in, and as I walked in, I noticed outside the restaurant, there's an outside patio where you could eat. There's a little lake, and then there's a stage across the lake. And there's this blues singer. And I'm just like, you know, the last thing I need right now is blues. And I'm singing some sad song about lost love. And I go, nah, you know, I'm going to eat inside. But I get my food, I look around, there's no tables inside. And I go, you know what? I can praise God even out there in the middle of a blues concert. And so I walked out, I sat down, the guy was between songs. Funny thing happened. I go, Lord, I don't know, I'm in the mood right now, I'd love to hear a Bob Dylan song. Now that may not seem very spiritual to you. It didn't to me either, but I just had this thought, and I just thought, yeah, you know, maybe this guy knows a Dylan song. I don't know, I'm sick of these other, and so right then, he goes into, she's got everything she needs. She's an art. I'm like, it's a Dylan song. I can't believe it. God, you're so good. And I'm just like praising God going, you let me hear this Dylan song. Now, if you're one of those people that thinks, oh, if a Christian listens to secular music that, you know, it's just horrible and it's a sin, it's okay. God queued it up for me. He could have picked a Christian Dylan song. He didn't. He didn't pick Lay Lady Lay or something like that. It was just an innocuous, and it was like, I thought, how in the world did God do that? Make this guy sing a Dylan song just because I had this little thought in my head. I'm in the mood for a Bob Dylan song, and here it is. And I'm just going, God, you're amazing. You're so good. And then the song's winding down, and I go, you know what, Lord, I'd love to hear him do a Christian song. And then I'm thinking, oh, this is stupid. It can't happen. I mean, this guy is obviously not a Christian. He's a blues singer. God, I'm so sorry. I don't want, but I do. But it's cool. I'm not going to desert you if he doesn't do it. He ends, she's an artist, and then he fiddles around a little, and he goes into the song I've never heard before about a guy who's desperate, and he's crying out to God, and he hears God say to him, the door is always open. I'll always accept you. I'll always receive you. And I'm just sitting there going, what are the odds that this guy would two songs in a row that I'm just asking God for? Does God care what the guy plays? No. If God hadn't had him play those songs, am I going to go jump in the lake and kill him? No, it was just a sweet little thing that God did for me to let me know that when I choose to praise him, he's working. He's there. And so I kind of thought, should I go 3 for 3? And then I go, no. I was like, okay, Stairway to Heaven. But no, I finished my burger and I ate enough. There were way too many onion rings, so I didn't finish them, but malt was half gone. And I just go, okay, that's it. I'm back on the road, back with my praise album, back praising the Lord for the rest of this drive. And, you know, as I got in my car, I heard him starting up the next song, some depressing song about lost love or something. But I just thought, how amazing. Now you can think I'm nuts. Or you can think, whoa, that was a real lucky day for you. I prefer to believe that God put that in my heart, gave me that desire. I mean, if I just wanted to hear a Dylan song, I could have gone and got a Dylan album and put it in. But it was just one of those fleeting ideas followed by, I want something about you, God. And it was there and it happened. I'm telling you, I wouldn't lie. I didn't make it up. It was amazing. To me, it was a miracle. But it was a miracle that flowed forth out of deciding to praise God if I didn't feel like it. Being obedient to what he told me to do, even though it was a struggle. I mean, and it changed my day and it salvaged my week in an amazing way. And what I'm suggesting to you is whatever it is that you're facing, in a room this size, there are some of you who are under horrible attack that if we told our problems, it would just look like, what wimps. I mean, we're talking about people who have real problems here. And you're being attacked, and life is difficult, and you're confused, and you're scared, and you're feeling like, uh-oh, I don't know how things are going to change for me. I want to challenge you this week. Go back through this chapter 20, first 23 verses. And as you do, start with theology, start with God. God, here's what I know about you. And then talk about your relationship with God. Talk about what he's done for you in the past, the things that you're doing for him as well. Focus on that relationship. And as that happened, then bring before him all the enemies. Everyone that you're concerned about, everyone who doesn't have your best interest in mind, and go, God, look at this. Are you going to let this happen? If you do, it's okay. I'm yours. But God, it's yours. I'm not going to fight my battle. I'm going to let you fight it the way you can. What I'm going to do now, I'm just going to praise you. And then go into a time of praise. If you've never spent much time praising God, I do suggest get an album with some good praise songs on it. But for once, don't just listen to it as background music, but pray those words yourself from your heart to the Lord. And as we praise, something radical happens. God's working. Now, they didn't see it immediately. To them, as these guys were hacking each other with swords, from their vantage point, it looked like, uh-oh, they're really getting stirred up. It took a while to realize what God was doing, but they continued to praise him until the victory was won. And that's what God has for us. And it's not a position of desperation. It's a position of honesty, going, God, I see what we're against, and I can't do it. And God, I need you to do it. And I want to trust you to do it. And right now, I'm going to praise you, even though you haven't done it yet, because I know how you are. I know what you've always done. I know what you're going to do. You're faithful, Lord. I'm not going to question you. I'm going to praise you. And as we see, as the Bible teaches, we go from the prayer that God teaches us to pray. And we come into that praise and acknowledgement of him and giving him credit. And what flows forth out of that is a power that we can't believe. The power of God working in our lives and going, you know what? I've got it under control. The victory is ours. Don't worry about it.
We've seen the power of prayer and praise today on The Balanced Word through a study of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from Pastor Dave Rolf. He'll be right back. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Again, thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you seen Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? Watch and listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or call us at 949-362-7475. With all this talk about the power of prayer and praise, what do you say we finish our time in prayer? Here's Pastor Dave once again.
Let's pray. Lord, we know who you are. There's no question about that. But God, help us to focus on who you are, because the picture gets so much clearer when we think of who you are and what you can do. Lord, then as we reflect on our relationship with you, you've been good to us. Everything we have, everything that we've done for you was so worth it. You paid us back so much more than we could ever do for you. But Lord, you see our weak. You know what's facing us. Many of us are going to be blindsided by things we don't even know about. Others, we're going to be forced to face the reality of life as we know it. And we need you to help us. Help us to be still. Help us to just stand there and to praise you and to look for your victory, Lord. We need you. It's all you. So God, be faithful on our behalf. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that'll do it for this week. Join us next time for The Balanced Word when we'll pick up where we left off in 2 Chronicles with Pastor Dave Roth. The Balanced Word is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And